He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on there and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last five, 6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this Thursday afternoon. Good to be here. Good to be live alongside you here on a wonderful Thursday here at Fashion Furniture. That's right. New year, new show here at Fashion Furniture. Of course, we're here for the hour before we headed off to college football tonight. Miami and Ole Miss, the first of two semifinals tonight on 1430. Very excited to bring that to you. Of course, very excited to bring good show, a good hour packed in here for the next 60 minutes before we send it out to Phoenix, Arizona for what should be a very good football game. Let's talk about it here, though. We are live at Fashion Furniture, and, of course, Sleep Retreat is free when you buy Tempur-Pedic, Stearns & Foster, and Beautyrest Black products. Free delivery, free setup, and free hallway of your old mattress or adjustable base. Come to Sleep Retreat inside Fashion Furniture, where all our qualifying mattress and adjustable base purchases offer free. Plus, $300 in free mattress gear gifts with purchase of any Tempur-Pedic, Beautyrest Black, or Stearns & Foster purchase. Free sheets, free memory foam pillows, free mattress protectors. Did we mention it's all free? There you go. Here at Fashion Furniture, nothing like it in all of California. We are here, like I said, live for the next hour. Big thanks to Tony D for tossing it to us in the previous hour. Tony D Show, Sportsline Bulldog Hour. Tony D from 2 to 3. One of the many offerings we have here locally that you can listen to. Of course, his show, my show, normally from 3 to 6 p.m., and of course, 3 to 4 today. And then Palmetto's show, which is the Central Valley Sports Report, which is on from 10 a.m. to noon on Saturdays live from First Ring Sports. You can find all that content live and on demand on the 1430 ESPNFresno.com website and on ESPN Fresno's app. You also can connect with us via Facebook, YouTube, and that's where we're currently streaming right now. Not streaming on Twitch just quite yet, but we have Facebook and YouTube streaming right now with the video streams. So hello to those who are watching on YouTube and Facebook. We got those up and running for you as well, so hopefully that is working out for you there. You can call into our show. The Central Valley leader will have a hotline, of course. We always have the hotline. Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing sponsoring that hotline, which is 559-320-1430. The Lee's Air hotline, 559-320-1430, the way to reach our show. You have the Lee's Air weather check also sitting at 54 degrees today, relatively cool, sunny conditions out there, pretty much the same temperature tomorrow as well, and we're just roaming through the 50s for quite some time all the way through next week. So just handle it there. It's classic January here in Central California. Good to be here. Like I said, good to be talking sports. There's a few items we'll get to, of course, today. Also, a reminder, we have an interview, which is coming up in about 15 minutes or so. Our Student Athlete of the Week, Anaya Venegas and Ali Garcia, are joining us here for Golden West Girls Basketball. So we'll be talking about that and their season so far and how great Anaya has been this whole year as well. So we'll get into that. But let's talk about the top sports story from yesterday, of course. And before I do that, though, I want to introduce Jorge into the show. Jorge is producing for the 1 hour we have before college football. Jorge, how are we doing on this Thursday?
Pretty good, pretty good. It's a sunny day. It's not too bad. I think that it's a little bit cold outside. I haven't really gone outside just because of that. But yeah, it's all right.
All right. There you go. Sounds good. Well, good to have you. Good to be here. And we are going to lead off with, I think, it's interesting how we decide where to go with the topics. Of course, we have our teams that we broadcast here, our affiliates, and there were a couple of games last night that were of note. But I am the ever positive person, so we won't talk about the Los Angeles Lakers last night and what they dealt with the San Antonio Spurs. I want to go to what I think continues to be an amazing story in sports in the San Jose Sharks. And, of course, last night they got their comeback win over the Los Angeles Kings, an overtime win. Credited to, of course, the great play from the one and only Macklin Celebrini, who was phenomenal again last night. Jorge, I was showing you the goal from last night, the one that tied it. It is ridiculous, as beyond ridiculous can be. And then, of course, on the flip side, him coming up with the assist with William Eklund to end up getting the game-winning goal in overtime. And the Sharks down there, rival foes in the division, the Kings, and the Sharks continue to climb in the standings as we speak, a team that is now two games above their win total from a year ago, and now they are just a point out from first place and could overtake that position by the end of the weekend when they face the Vegas Golden Knights. Jorge, you mentioned to me you tuned in on our broadcast on 790 last night. And I feel like you are growing into the Sharks fandom here, and I welcome it, Jorge. I welcome it very much. How are you experiencing this Sharks resurgence right now?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I think that one of the things that I was actually putting a close attention to was Dan Reznowski's interpretation of the last goal, and
yeah.
How he just went crazy with it, and I'm like, wow, okay, that's because I tuned in right before the end of the third period, and yeah. right there he's like, all right, well, kind of go to overtime, and then overtime started, and it was close to like a couple of minutes of overtime, and then the goal went in, and I'm like, whoa, what, and he's just like, God. Sharks win.
He's going crazy.
Yeah, it was cool. I was listening to it, yeah.
Feels like every time we build to a better and better result with the San Jose Sharks team. Of course, they don't play until the weekend. They play Dallas, and then they go back-to-back with them and the Vegas Knights. So I would imagine hoping to go 1-1 on that stretch at the very least is a priority for the San Jose team, who continues to add to their expectations now, where they are continually moving up the standings. Like I said, 22 wins. They have the most wins in the Pacific Division as we speak right now, among all the teams, even including the finals NHL Stanley Cup final participant, the Edmonton Oilers, who had 21 wins right now as we speak. So amazing to just think about the turnaround of it. And the Sharks do end up making a move going in to today. They acquire another goaltender, Laurent Brossoit, who is from the Chicago Blackhawks. They also acquire a defenseman, Nolan Allen, and also a seventh-round pick in 2028 in exchange for Ryan Ellis, Jake Furlong, and one of their fourth-rounders in 2028. But it seems like the Sharks are getting more depth at a position that they want to have the options to have there. Nedeljkovic, of course, has been kind of the second guy now as Askarov has continued to build into what he has been. And the Sharks are looking for gems in their defensive side of things. They are still looking for additions there that could end up being guys who pop off earlier than expected. Allen, who is 22 years old, this new guy they acquired, Nolan Allen, 29 games this year at the lower level. He hasn't had quite the production, you would say, at the lower level in their side, but they feel like there's enough there for him to maybe potentially represent some sort of production to the Sharks there moving forward. But outside of that, it's incredible to watch. And Jorge, I showed you the goal, and the Kings had the best angle on that Macklin Celebrini goal. You wanted to, you like, I don't know if Yeah, I know you're more of a big soccer fan, but like, can you think of goals like that, like in soccer, in a sense, like you were like, I don't know how they got that through, in some form or fashion. Macklin Celebrini skating through the defense and finding the five hole with a couple guys in front of the goalie there. I think you have to take you have to find the respect there for a goal like that, and it's special what we are watching with Macklin Celebrini.
Yeah, it was definitely a little unexpected, and I think that the way that he went through like three other players before he took that shot, right, and then it went just right where it's supposed to go.
Yeah,
you know, to get that goal, and it's, you know, you could tell he's a star, and he's a player, you know, of a different caliber. But it's good for the Sharks because I think they needed this, and it's been a long time since they had something like this. So I'm glad for the fan base, which is a very loyal fan base, by the way.
Are there players you think about? I go in general in sports because Macklin's getting to that level. I'm like, how the heck did he do that? Like, have you ever? Are there players you think about when I say, how the heck did they do that? Are there players that come to mind for you?
Yeah,
yeah.
I think like you said, soccer is very relatable. I think Messi and Ronaldo would be like the two players that I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah,
you know, in basketball. I know that Curry with his trees or with his crazy shots like that, sometimes you're like, how are you doing this? And, you know, and sometimes, you know, receivers. The other day we saw a college, I can't remember who was it. It was a college ball where the receiver just went up in the air, just snatched it out of the air and came down with it. You know, just like the Moss. he was mossing someone. I think that those are the type of plays.
I think Puka Nacua with a lot of the catches he makes.
Yeah,
in the end zone and around the sidelines. Yeah,
definitely. And I think that's those are the type of players that are different players.
Certainly, it is amazing to see, and like when we're getting to that level, and he's 19 years old, Jorge. We're getting into a territory here where, I think the Bay Area fans and the fans here who are Sharks fans everywhere in California have to take stock into the idea that it ain't just a good player anymore. It is generational, sensational, and can't miss now in terms of his ability. And I would imagine that I think people need to take notice, take stock. I'm trying to – it's like – I mean, when Steph Curry started coming along here, that's the last player I can think of in the Bay Area where I'm like, I cannot miss this kind of guy and how their capabilities are when it comes to the sport they play. This is the next Steph Curry in my mind in terms of his ability to reach beyond the hockey fan. It is to reach the people who aren't interested in hockey, who may be like, huh, I might actually really tune in here and pay attention to the Sharks team. I think you're feeling the same way, I would imagine, if I want to equate it that way.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's, you know what it is? I'm actually more excited about going to see him later on in this year. Before the season ends, the regular season ends, I'll probably go see him. But I'm getting more excited about it.
Absolutely. Well, Sharks get a win. And let me check on our schedule. The next time you can listen to the San Jose Sharks right here on our airwaves will be on
Sunday
when they host the Vegas Golden Knights. So that is the next time you'll see or hear the Sharks right here on 790 or over on 790 right here on the Central Valley Sports Leader. So be sure to tune in then to Dan Rusinowski and the crew. This is a team you cannot miss. All right, Jorge, let's take a break. We have our next guest coming up on our show here. Our Student Athlete of the Week will join us now here on the stage. Don't go anywhere. Behind the Bench rolls along on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. And now we are joined in our one and only hour here for our interview, but it's a good one. It's our Student Athlete of the Week for this week. And I have an Aegis. Congratulations from Golden West Girls Basketball. Head coach Ali Garcia here as well. So represented well here from the Golden West side. And first of all, happy to have you both here. How are we doing on this Thursday afternoon? How are y'all doing?
Good, thank you.
Good.
Happy to be here.
Happy to be here as well and talking to both of you. It's very exciting to get into it with some great minds in the sport of basketball, of course. And Anaya, you're having a very good season, and you're having a very good stretch as well, the way you're playing. And we wanted to honor that with our ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. And Anaya, of course, congratulations. How does it feel to be named a Student Athlete of the Week for you? How do you feel?
Feels good. I'm proud to like carry myself the way I do.
Yeah, absolutely. You're scoring well. You're playing well. You're tenacious, it seems like, on the defense as well, from what we're seeing. And coach, those are just a few things I could describe about Anaya. But tell me a little bit more about her as a player.
Well, it's truly a blessing for her to get this award. And just coaching her for the last 3 years on varsity, she's done amazing year after year. This year she kind of exploded off of her performance from her junior year, scoring her 1,000-point just recently, and just continuing to add to it over and over each game. Multiple games with 30 plus points a game, hitting double digits, double doubles, but doing everything that we asked for her each day, each game.
Yeah, certainly, it seems like, you know, it's been building to this point, right? From what Coach kind of alluded to, you're building off a good year last year and into this year, and you know, tell me a little bit about the expectations you had kind of going into this season and what your role you're expected to take on. What was the expectations kind of coming in for you?
Well, coming in from my junior year, like I knew I was close to my 1,000, so I was kind of just pushing to accomplish that, but not only being like a team player for my team and being a leader out there and being someone they could look up to since we have a really young team.
Yeah, team leader for sure, a young team that's still learning, moving through the season, right? And coach, this was kind of the feeling, right, when you came in, having to lean on Anaya, right, for that, almost like player coach in a way on the court. Is it even that level for you with her?
I would say so, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot. Like she said, we're a very young team. I feel like the lower freshmen girls are really looking up to her, trying to follow her footsteps, trying to get, you know, where she is as a player and as a leader.
Yeah, and as a player, I'm sure it's fun to watch what she does night in, night out. Coach, what is it like watching Anaya on the sideline and just kind of seeing the things she processes and seeing the things she figures out? What are some of the things that amazes you from when you watch her?
Well, first off, she's an amazing player to watch. Like, she's playing her heart out every second of the game, and she plays just about every minute of every game. But her basketball IQ is well aware of where she is on the floor, how she can help her team when we need a point, and like when we need it, she's the person that, you know, steps up in that position. But overall, like, just a really good leader on the team, and is the person when we need it.
And Anaya, when you hear that from coach, you know, what comes to mind about kind of the way you process the game? You know, take me on the court with you. Like, how does the game process for you when you're in it?
I think like I grew up playing softball, so it's a really slow game. So when I came to basketball, it was just a really fast pace, and I really had to like catch up to myself. And it's just like pre-game has a lot to do with a lot, and just getting myself ready to be tired.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's just a process, I guess.
That's interesting. Like, preparing mentally for the grueling and grinding nature of the game, right? I don't hear that a lot from players. The players just like, I'm just kind of go. I get ready and everything like that. But you take a real good mental approach to it, it seems like, with the processing of like, all right, I'm mentally prepared for the battle that's going to be, the girls that are going to come after me when I face them each night in and night out. Like, what led you to that point to kind of think of the game that way?
I feel like our coaches has a lot to do with that. They make sure we're mentally ready for what we're about to face and how tired we're about to be.
Interesting. Coach, where does that come from for you when you hear an I say that?
Well, we focus a lot on, you know, being prepared for the next team and then next man up. So mentality, you know, injuries or anybody can be a starter off of the bench. Like, I leave that opportunity open for the girls. But we also focus a lot on film, watching our previous games, even if it's just watching yourself and not watching the whole team, but watching yourself. And I think Anaya does a really good job at that. Her awareness, like, you can tell when a player watches film and they can go out the very next day and kind of correct those things or, you know, outperform on those things.
And I, do you feel like when you step on the court, things don't catch you off guard with your prep most of the time? Like, teams will do some things, but, like, you feel as prepared as any when it comes to that. Like, is that just – do you feel like that trust in your own preparation is leading to kind of that feeling for you?
Yeah, sometimes I just, like, go blank on the court. Like, sometimes I won't even know what I'm doing, but I'll catch up to myself and just calm down and remember what I did before to get ready for the game.
Well, that's interesting. And you mentioned, because I think you mentioned you were a softball kind of player before. I'm sure you still play softball after the basketball season. But so this doesn't sound like it was your first sport, basketball. Is that what I'm kind of hearing from you?
Yeah.
Interesting. So talk about when did basketball kind of come into your athletic career a little bit? Like, when did somebody say, hey, maybe you should get a basketball and start playing on the court?
I started playing in middle school my eighth grade year when my PE teacher made me he didn't even give me a choice. He just made me play basketball because he was coaching it.
He just made you. And, yeah. And then you found out, actually, I'm not too bad at this kind of thing. Is that what the thought process went?
Yeah.
Yeah? Interesting. And, Coach, I'm sure you're thrilled that she took that leap of faith in eighth grade, right, a little bit?
For sure.
Yeah?
The coach, the PE teacher that she's referring to is our JV coach. I thank him greatly for that because her athleticism from there has taken off the past years in high school. I mean, to only start playing basketball in eighth grade and be as good as she is right now, it says a lot.
That's what I'm interested in, right? Because you've seen some players come through and you've coached basketball for a bit now. Yeah. And when you think of the girls that come through that are above and beyond, you know, mm-hmm. they're playing 10 years before they come up to like the high school level, right? They're getting after it really early.
And so playing all year long. Yeah.
Yeah. So how unusual is Anaya's case for you?
It's very unusual, but I feel like it's just her demeanor. And like, I think once she kind of grasped the knowledge and IQ of basketball, it kind of just took off from her. Like I think it was a realization to herself was like, I can actually be really good at this.
Yeah.
And just took off from there.
Do you think about how unusual your case is, Anaya, or you just say, I'm here to play and whatever happens, happens? Are you just kind of that mindset?
Yeah, sometimes I think back, like, if I would have started playing basketball when I was younger, how, like, better I could have been. But, you know, I do what I can do in the past years that I've been playing.
Absolutely. Well, you're playing in this season right now with Golden West, and you guys 10-6 record from it stands right now. And, you know, you've had some wins, you've had some losses. You're going through the season. You're getting less set up for league play, right? And mm-hmm. So how do you talk about the youth of this team. So you talk about – do you talk about the expectations, or do you leave that pretty open-ended, knowing there is kind of an unknown with what this roster was going to present going into this year? I'll start with Coach.
I feel like it was a little unknown. Obviously, you know, we have a very young team, a lot of new faces of varsity, only returning five girls from last season. But we started work early. We started in the summer right after basketball season ended last year. I think we took a month off and just continued to roll with it in the fall, summer, and preseason. And I think we had a pretty good schedule set up this year to get us some wins. We play in a pretty tough league in the EYL, but we have been really good in the beginning of the season.
Very good. And, of course, Anaya, talk about with Coach and reflective of that, you know, the expectations, you know, you knew it's interesting because you're in that leadership role and you're trying to kind of get used to some of the younger players in there, how much did you know of the team or how much did you play with some of your teammates before they became teammates this year? How were you getting familiar with that?
I think there's only one player on the team that is now a senior that I've been playing for since middle school. But other than that, like the younger ones, I've never like played with them or knew of them outside of high school or outside of school. But our bonding, our connection is like really strong. We started off good, so the connection outside of basketball has a lot to do with on the court.
And are there players? I'm not trying to get you to pick favorites or anything, but like, are there players that have really stepped up for you? I know there's you got all your teammates out there. I'm sure they're even listening to this interview right now. But, coach, like, are there players that have surprised you on this season outside of Anaya, of course, what she's done? But are there players that have stepped up for you that you're like, wow, okay, there's something we can work with here with this team?
Most definitely, we brought up two freshmen this year, one that would be taking the point guard position next year and just kind of getting her ready for varsity level basketball. And she's done a lot of good things for us, Jalissa Anaya. We have another freshman, Audrey Aldridge, doing really well at the guard position. We have our senior, Lily, that has, you know, played varsity all 4 years and has continued to do well for us in playing different positions. But I mean, the list goes on. We have a lot of talented players, and our hope is to continue to get more out of them each game.
Absolutely. And you know, Anaya, tell me from your perspective, what are practices like with this group? Like, take me into the gym of a practice and how this group works through everything, you know. What is it like for you as a player, and give us a little insight on what Golden West practices are like.
Well, sometimes we start off really slow, but we try to stay on track, and starts off with running sometimes. And so after that, we're obviously really tired, but anything, we try our best to listen to our coaches as much as we can. But practices, they're mostly like, we try to stay focused and on track, obviously, for the games that we have that week. And we really focus on what team we're playing. We'll really break down on whatever they're doing, their defense, their offense. And we'll just go, like, step by step through them.
And this morning, I'm sure Mount Whitney is a team. Like, that's just the next team, right? That's what it is for you guys, right? And I'm sure you couldn't stop hearing about Mount Whitney today, right, practice? Is that kind of how it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anaya, there's some games you have out here that are interesting. I want to hit on a few of them, if I don't say so myself. Tell me about the Orosi game, your first win of the year. I'm looking at a 20-15 game. You had 6 steals, 2 blocks. I mean, that one probably woke up everything in terms of, okay, things are happening for you here. But tell me about that game. It was a close game with Orosi.
Wait, which game was it?
The Orosi game. Yeah, you had 20 points, 15 rebounds, the most rebounds you had this year. 6 blocks. Are you a big blocker too?
Sometimes, yeah. I can be, yeah.
Sneaky one.
Sneaky? Is it she had the reach or is she had the instincts?
Yeah. The reach from behind and the instinct, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So there you go. Coach, I shout out a stat line like that, how involved she is interior, offensively, the blocking, you know. What does it tell you about that kind of game specifically from her?
Honestly, just an all-around player, but being able to do all of that with the type of pressure that maybe we put on her, or maybe she puts on herself, or even just her teammates, like depending on her a lot of the time to get something done for us, whether that's scoring, rebounding, stealing, blocking, defensively, it just says a lot about her as a player.
Now you had a couple 32-pointers. I'm looking at a game against Lindsay, another 7 blocks, winning 50-42, 32 points there as well. You're rocking and rolling pretty much over there in games like that. But the team needs you in those situations too. It's not like all those 32 points are for naught. It's a reliance on that for sure. But tell me, you know, take me through that game because it looked like a close one there with Lindsay.
Was that when I hit my...
Yeah, so the second time we played Lindsay was when she got her 1,000 points. She was 31 points away, or 30 points away from her.
Oh, so it was at the tail end of the game.
Yeah. I think there was 3 minutes left in the fourth, 4 minutes maybe.
Does it get a little weird when you were getting to that milestone and you're trying to win a basketball game, but you don't want to everybody wants to stop it. Coach, was it getting a little did you feel like it was going to happen that night with the way she was playing? Or?
I was definitely prepared for it to happen that night, knowing that we had just played them. She had scored 30 points. She needed the 30 points. So I felt like she could be capable of it. Obviously, it was going to come later in the game more so than in the beginning.
Yeah.
But she just kept pushing, and I feel like the whole team was just focused on, like, hey, get Nye the ball.
Yeah.
See what she could do.
Yeah.
See if she can get it at home, because our next game was away, so we were definitely – me personally
you wanted, it in the gym.
Wanted it in our gym. Yeah.
And I, did you know you were close when you hit the record, or did you – were you totally absent from the point total whatsoever?
So I actually went on max preps before the game, and I looked at my total, and I knew I needed 30, but I asked one of my coaches came to me, and he lied to me about it, saying that I needed more than I did. But I knew I was getting close when I was shooting my free throws, and the whole bench was getting loud.
Yeah. How special was that? I know not many players get to 1,000. You know, it's a nice milestone, and I'm sure you've seen some players before you get to 1,000 and all that. You know, what does that mean to you, a milestone like that, and what does it tell you about your hard work?
It feels good that all the hard work past these high school years finally, it showed.
Yeah.
It showed, yeah, and for my team to have my back on helping me accomplish that, it feels great. It feels good.
Well, let's talk about the ceiling real quick of this team. Like, where can this team go? I know you're coming off the loss last night. You got a game tomorrow. You turn the page real quick. I'm sure that's what you want to do. And so, and then you break in the league play, right? And so that's not too far away. And that's when things really ramp up for this team. So
yeah.
What are the expectations now that you've had multiple games in now?
Yeah. We're definitely got, you know, 9 games left on our schedule. Our goal from beginning of the season was to get to playoffs. It was something that we fell short of last year, and we were really, really working at getting that this year. I think we're in a good situation right now to make playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we still have to finish out league. But our league is tough, and
yeah.
Our biggest thing is just being able to compete night after night and being prepared for each opponent.
And I, you know this league, you know Mount Whitney, you know Porterville, you know Redwood, you know LD, you know Menachie, you know all of them in terms of that. You know the rivalries with, you know the different girls on there. You probably know them too much in terms of that with how much you played. How tough is this league night in, night out?
It is very tough. Coming from last year, we didn't have the greatest outcome, but this year I'm really confident in our team that we could accomplish league the most that we can. If that makes sense.
You want a playoff run in you too. You want one of those, especially in your senior year.
Yeah.
How special would that be to have extra games for you? I got to imagine it's something you're just dying to have.
Yeah, I feel hopefully that I have more games because it's getting really close to the end of the season and I don't want to stop now.
Absolutely. Well, we're coming up to the end of this interview, and so now we get to the portion where I start giving away the prizes here for you here. So let's start with the other stuff over here. So I've got a bag full of some goodies for you. Coach told me you're a size small T-shirt, so
yeah.
We're going to roll with that. So here's a T-shirt for you that you can wear during warm-ups. I've had other players wear it warm-ups before. There you go, student
Perfect.
Athlete of the week for you there. So we have that for you. When you're ever in Fresno again, which I guarantee you will be, we have hooked you up with some Toledo's. If you've ever been there, delicious Mexican restaurant here in town, a family 4-pack. So the family can get fed when you guys come to Fresno next. So there you go.
Perfect.
And I imagine you're going to Fresno next because I set you up. I believe this is a doubleheader ticket for men and women for the Fresno State game against Grand Canyon.
Nice.
On the 24th. I checked your schedule. You don't have a game on the 24th, so you should be able to make it this month. Got a KFC voucher as well. Works in Selma and Kerman and all that. And this is a nice bag for you.
Thank you.
There you go. Next, Joe's got a little special something for you here. He's going to put it up on the Let me see if I can get it on the stream here to show you. Joe, you want to open that up for the folks there. And that is a cooler full of milk from Raw Farms. So there you go. And that is your personal supply from Raw Farms. This is your cooler, by the way. Parents are going to love that. So you get to take that home. And good for the protein shakes, all that stuff. And guess what, Coach? Because Anaya was a student athlete of the week, you get a team drop of milk and a practice this year. So if the team wants some milk, a supply of milk, she'll bring it to you. Contact the woman in that on that form there, and they will bring some milk to Golden West practice, basketball practice there for y'all as well. So he's set up there.
Thank you.
And finally, the big one is the one where you got to find some good space for it here. But here we go. Anaya Venegas, Golden West basketball, holding it up for the camera here. I think people can see it. We're doing our best here. I'm trying to multitask. Let me drop the bug there. There we go. And that is yours to take home.
Thank you.
Put it anywhere you would like. I'm sure parents have an idea where it could go. Do you have an idea where it could go, Anaya?
Probably in my room.
There you go. You got some wall space. All right. So we'll put it up there. But anyways, congratulations. And by the way, you're automatically a nominee for Student Athlete of the Year, Female Student Athlete of the Year. We'll have a banquet at the end of the year. We'll send the details. You'll be invited. It should be a lot of fun at the end of the season when we have all of our student athletes from this past school season, and we'll have you there as well. So that's all I got. Anaya, congratulations.
Thank you.
Best of luck on the rest of your Coach Garcia, appreciate it as always. Thanks for swinging by.
Super grateful to be here.
Absolutely. And best of luck on the rest of the season.
Thank you.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Behind the Bench right after this. ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. We're grooving on this Thursday afternoon. To our Student Athlete of the Week interview, Anaya Venegas and Ali Garcia here on from Golden West High School girls basketball. So happy to have them here. Appreciate them as always. So very excited. Let's finish up the show. Yeah, that's right. We're done after this segment. You don't want to hop on, Joe? just for 9 minutes. I unplugged one of the headsets. See if we can get back on here. You just got to plug it in there. I got you on the stream here. Anyways, Joe's hanging around here. He was helping out with the social media side. So, Joe, you know how to get yourself back on here. Let me tighten the picture here for us because we're a little wide. There we go. Hello. Hey, there he is.
Hello.
Joe's here. Jorge's here.
There it is. Okay, I hear myself.
Yeah, you can hear yourself. So wrapping up there, I am doing 5 million things at once on the show, including trying to create stream consciousness while doing this live stream thing. Let me get that
logo there. My Hurricanes shirt looks
good. There
cool.
We go. Look at your Hurricanes.
Go Canes. On there.
Sports Zone. The U. Jorge, why is Miami winning tonight?
Tell him, Jorge.
Who said they're winning?
Hey, you tell him, Jorge.
Oh, I meant Joe. Why? Sorry, did I say Jorge?
You said Jorge.
My brain's
tell
Jorge's here.
We want to know Jorge what he.
Jorge, wants. why is Miami winning tonight?
Tell him, Jorge. Just tell him.
Like I said, who said they wouldn't?
So Jorge, are you on Ole Miss tonight? Are you on Ole Miss tonight?
Maybe I am.
That's lame. You guys are lame.
I'm hedging. I want Miami to win, but I'm hedging the fact that.
Why do you want more SEC teams to do anything? It is what it is. ACC's got it.
Yeah, ACC football. It's back, baby.
It's back.
Yeah, I'm trying to revive the Noles in my college football video game.
See, I hate the Noles.
I know you hate the Noles.
It sucks.
Hey, they offered me a job. I took it. Anyways, okay. Joe, why is Miami the superior team tonight?
You got Bo Jackson back there, man. Jackson's going to just 4 touchdowns today. Uh-huh. Beck's going to do it up today. Beck's going to have himself a day. He's going to have his lady there. We all know who she is, or at least some of us do.
Former Fresno State.
Let's do this. They're going to win, man.
What do you think of Mario Cristobal? Is he going to, like, is he, like...
So he's going to win it all, and then he's going to be president the next election.
He's going to be president.
We're making him president.
Cristobal 2028. Is that what we're doing?
I'm for it.
You can't just run for Florida governor first?
Nah. We're running for president.
Miami mayor? We can't do this in steps now?
The Canes do it after all we've been through.
Yeah.
All my Miami fans, yeah, he deserves president. I don't care what anyone says.
It's funny, though.
It's clear he can run an organization.
Both quarterbacks tonight, former Georgia quarterbacks.
No, I know. That's insane to think about that.
Former Georgia quarterbacks who are kind of, you know, Beck was the backup for the two titles when Georgia ended up winning it in 21 and 22. It's interesting to kind of think about all that being turned around in terms of it. But how about Carson Beck's ability to beat AP-ranked opponents? 15-3?
Beast.
Overall, is that only starting quarterbacks over the last 20 seasons have had a better record than against the AP top opponents. Do you want to guess those two quarterbacks? Who have only two of them.
In the past how long?
In the past 20 seasons have had a better record than Carson Beck has against
seasons?
The AP-ranked opponents.
Ooh, man. Past 20 seasons, someone that's good right now probably.
Yeah.
Man. I don't know. That's a long...
There are two current starting quarterbacks
starting
in the National Football
right now,
League
current.
Right now.
Not Fields.
No, not Justin Fields, no.
Burrow.
Burrow is one.
Burrow is one of them. Not Lamar.
Not Lamar, no.
Another one, not Herbert.
Not Herbert.
Man, that's
He's
tough.
Currently going to be playing in the playoffs this year.
Not Young.
Not Bryce, no.
Jorge,
you got a guess?
It's not Purdy.
Not Purdy. No. Ohio State was up.
First round or?
Darnold?
No, it's just AP top 25 opponents.
Not
best
Darnold?
Record, not Darnold. Quarterbacks. I'm not talking draft. I'm talking just college great quarterbacks.
All right, Shedeur Sanders.
Not Shedeur, no. Nope. He would be playing a game on Sunday in the playoffs.
Not Trevor Lawrence.
It's not Trevor Lawrence.
What the heck? Who else is there?
It is Jalen Hurts.
Okay. Duh. Disrespectful. I'm sorry.
You forgot about Bama.
I did forget about. No, I instantly thought of Young, honestly.
Bryce Young, you just forgot about the guy before the guy. Before.
Well, I mean, the guy that we have replaced him, and now look where we're at. So, as a Miami fan.
Beck's last loss was against Ole Miss last season when he played for Georgia, who had won 8 straight since then. Miami's 2 losses, Carson Beck has thrown 6 picks.
Ugh.
4 against Louisville and a pair against SMU. Is the pick, because it feels like it's either give or take with this game. It's going to be the picks versus a clean Carson Beck game. Ole Miss has got to draw turnovers. They got to create turnovers on that defensive side. Is this a defense that can make that happen? That is going to be the question in terms of it. I haven't really seen much out of this Ole Miss defense. It's been more of the offensive firepower of what we heard about. And so if you're looking at complete team, I think the one that makes sense to me is Miami tonight if you're just going to go based off of, all right, who has better guys on either side. I don't really trust Miami's offense, but I trust that defense.
Yeah, Miami's offense has been a little disappointing.
I kind of trust Ole Miss's offense. I don't really trust that defense.
Right.
And so it's the give or take. What's better in a tight situation, the better defense or the better offense? And to me, defense wins in that situation.
Defense wins championships.
And so if I'm going by that logic ladder, I guess I'd have to pick Miami tonight. Joe.
I really want to see them go to the Natty.
If we're really going to like break it down logically.
I really want to see them go to the Natty so bad.
Which Miami going to the national championship would be, I would argue, the most random thing to have ever happened in college football other than TCU making it to a national championship in 2021. Is that the year, right, where they just got walloped by Georgia?
Yeah, destroyed by Georgia.
Yeah. Outside of TCU making it to the national championship, I can't think of a more random thing that happened in the college football playoff.
Hey, man, you should know. We got Cristobal there, so
Mario Cristobal.
It was coming.
Yeah. Jorge, how do you feel? Did I sway you in any sort of direction in that conversation about tonight's game in the Fiesta Bowl?
Not really, but I always thought it was going to be a tough game. I think that Miami has been a little bit overrated, and they're going to face a tough team.
Jorge, what do you know?
And we'll see what comes up at the end. They're both really good teams. And this is probably, the toughest opponents they'll face each other. So we'll see.
I present you a scenario. Mario Cristobal wins this game. Mario Cristobal wins the Natty. He will be hired by the Miami Dolphins soon after.
I'm so over.
The Dolphins will go after him like.
And dude, after Nick Saban and all
I
that.
I know. You don't want the college.
I'm over the college. Stuff.
You don't want the college coach.
I don't want that. I want Harbaugh. That's what I want.
I know you want Harbaugh.
I want Harbaugh so
Harbaugh
bad.
Doesn't want you.
Harbaugh wants Miami. He wants to go to Miami. He's the elitist to the promised land.
How about Mario Cristobal to the Dolphins, John Harbaugh to the Miami Hurricanes?
That'd be kind of cool.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
That'd be kind of cool, but I think it shouldn't be that way. I think Harbaugh needs to come to Miami, and that's it.
Anyway.
The Dolphins.
Well, that's tonight. That's our game. Joe,
I'm going to B-Dubs.
Do you want to invite all of Fresno to where you're going?
I'm going to B-Dubs over there on West Shaw. We'll be out there. Me and my friend Haley will be out there.
There you go.
Enjoying some alcoholic.
Joe and his friend Haley.
The Carolina fan.
Hanging out.
She's the Carolina fan.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so.
She rooting for Ole Miss just to
well, I sent
stab
her,
it to
I
you.
Sent her, I was like, hey, come watch the Canes. She's like, who are the Hurricanes? I said, oh.
You know what? Fair. Anyone born after, like, 2003.
You don't know. Yeah.
You don't know who the Hurricanes
are. Haley's, like, 27, so
yeah.
She's a little younger for sure.
Yeah.
But, it's been 25 years of misery.
Pain.
Misery, man. Miami just produces some of the best players of all time.
Your last relevant Hurricane moment was like Frank
03.
Gore.
You said like 03, right?
That's 03 when you lost the Natty to Ohio State.
I mean, we have had Clint Portis and all these guys come through there back in the day. So it's not the end of I don't know. I pride myself on the players they
best
produce.
My great Miami player I know is David Njoku. That's all I know. That's the only one I remember. Like, that's all I got.
Yeah, right now there's not much going on. Jalen Phillips is also killing it for Philly right now.
That's it. So. All right, Joe. Go enjoy your game.
I will.
Appreciate it as always. Jorge, good show by you. Appreciate it as always.
Thank you.
We'll be back tomorrow. We'll react to that one. And we got Indiana, Oregon tomorrow as well.
That'll be great.
Stay tuned. We'll see you tomorrow. College football coming up next.